And the second item on our agenda is the proposed agency procedure regarding litigation brought pursuant to 52 USC 30109A8, agenda document number 23-13A. Commissioner Dickerson.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I have little to add beyond my cover memorandum, which explains the need for a process to manage an unusual circumstance that now occasionally arises at the Commission, and which is the subject of current litigation. This is a narrow policy. It applies only to lawsuits against the Commission for failing to take action. It does not authorize the Office of General Counsel to defend such lawsuits without Commission approval. And it takes the minimal steps necessary to inform courts and the public when we determine not to defend the agency. This policy was fully vetted by the Office of General Counsel. And I want to especially thank them, and particularly our litigation staff, for their help in preparing the policy, which I hope will be uncontroversial.
Discussion. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will not be supporting the policy. This will not likely come as a surprise to much of anyone, but spoiler alert, my view is not going to prevail today. I don't intend to belabor this. I just want to explain, in my view, why I can't support this. The Congress, in its infinite wisdom, gave us an unusual statute that requires four votes for us to proceed on any enforcement matter, but also requires four votes to defend any litigation that might arise if we don't proceed on enforcement. And that can create some interesting situations for commissioners. The instances of the commission not defending litigation have been very few. I do not anticipate any in the foreseeable future. Possibly it'll never happen again. While I'm not supporting this proposal, I'm not gonna lose a lot of sleep over it either. I think these decisions on whether to defend litigation and what to do when we make those choices are necessarily based on the facts of the litigation that is in front of the commission at the time. I don't begrudge any of my colleagues for making different choices than I do. That is what they pay us the big bucks for, to exercise our discretion and make those individual choices in individual matters. So I think this policy is seeking to preclude future commissioners from making some of those choices that are inherent in their positions and in their right to make that decision about whether to defend litigation and how to handle it. So I don't plan to support this because I think we ought to leave future commissioners to make their own decisions. But as I said, that is a minority viewpoint. So I will not belabor the point further.
Further discussion?
Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I've struggled very much with this one. And I want to thank Commissioner Dickerson because we've had a chance to talk about it, and thank the Office of General Counsel because your staff has been very helpful, and as always, in helping me come through this. I agree with point one and two, and I understand the need to apprise the court when the commission has not had the requisite number of votes to defend an action. And while I would not have drafted and included number two in this, I can also see the reason why my colleague chose to include it. And so there's two thirds of this that I'm comfortable offhand supporting, but it's when we get to number three, if the ultimate intention is to advise the court of what is happening, that's, we can accomplish this with one and two. And I do not, there's no intention of putting anyone on the spot or anything, but what is the ultimate need for number three if we are attempting to merely let the court know? Because I want to say I'm 50-50 on this one, but I need to, my colleague, one more time, if you could give me some answer in regards to that, I'd appreciate it.
Madam Chair. I want to be careful how I respond because this has been the subject of very substantial discussions behind closed doors, and I have tried to be consistent in my positions. For me, there are two substantial answers. I think one is a basic conception to me of fundamental fairness in litigation, and the fact that when we are sued, it is one thing to choose not to defend the agency. I take Commissioner Weintraub's point. I think that a reasonable understanding of that statutory term is Federal Rule Civil Procedure 12. I don't think it's any limited appearance in federal court. I have never seen a substantial defense of that view of the statute. And I do think that when we take action on underlying MERS, that that is something that the courts and the parties should know. Again, I've tried to write this as narrowly as possible. This was not my first, second, third, or even fourth draft. And there's a lot that I would put in here that is not in this draft. But the intention is to allow the courts, following their procedures, to determine who needs to know what. The other part of this is that I was moved by Judge Maeda's opinion in Campaign Legal Center against the FEC. Hi. All right, the counsel for that case is in the room. Number 22-1115, where, you know, Judge Maeda was forced, he called it a vexing position, to reverse a decision of district court because, I'm going to quote here, only because the FEC's dysfunction, the word dysfunction is a quote, or CLC 45 committee and the delay court under the misimpression that the agency had not acted. I think the certifications of our votes under the underlying MER have been very important to judges appointed by both parties in reviewing our actions here. And I think that giving them that information under seal does not violate our confidentiality rules and does provide them with the minimal information necessary to manage their dockets. So that's my view. I think it's the view of, I think it's the view of every judge to have looked at this.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. But when you say giving them, you're giving all parties, not just the court.
Madam Chair. No, I'm instructing the Office of General Counsel to file these documents under seal, and then it's up to the judge what the judge does with them. Again, I'm not trying to micromanage this process. I'm trying to ensure that if the commission is ever again as deeply broken as it was in some portions of its past, that we don't find ourselves in a position where federal judges feel misled.
Thank you for that. All of that is very helpful. So thank you very much. But you tinge on a point that maybe Commissioner Broussard is micromanaging, and that there are some points for me that appear to be still need to flesh out. I think you got me there, but is there a willingness to approve this, but delay the implementation of this for a certain time period while we work out some of the logistics with the Office of General Counsel?
Madam Chair, I guess it depends. Look, if this is approved today, fine, because again, we are being actively sued on this situation, and I don't want to go any further than that, but we've all had conversations about how I think that might play out. So I think it is important that this be adopted today. In terms of OGC's implementation and the 5 points of how they might respond to this, I'm happy to have those conversations informally. But I'm not even sure what it means to delay implementation, since I don't think there's currently a matter that this would govern. So, I mean, if there were a motion to delay implementation for 30 days to work out the details informally with OGC, I would support that. But I'm not sure I understand the stakes on that question.
Madam Chair, thank you. There is, this does go into the level of conversations that have been had on this. And there are some outstanding points to me that are unclear how the Office of General Counsel would act upon 1, 2, particularly 3. And I would like to make sure that the commission as a whole is aware of how we intend to do this before. So what I am saying is that if there is, there will be a motion to approve this, but if there is a willingness in that motion to include or allow a 30-day implementation of this, then my vote will be there.
Madam Chair, I'm happy to make a vote along those lines. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. New child. I'm trying here with the English. I'm happy to make a motion along those lines. And I will also say, you know, and obviously it's the chair's discretion, but I'm happy to ask for this to be put on the next executive session for us to have that discussion with ODC.
Okay. With that inclusion in the motion and with the agreement with Madam Chair's willingness, you set the agendas to obviously put that on the agenda, then I'm prepared to vote.
Just to make sure I understand. So are we voting on this with a 30-day delay or? Okay. Wonderful. Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Well, with that, motion.
Madam Chair. Thank you. This actually turned out to be much more interesting than I was expecting. In this matter, I move the approval.
I try.
It was a compliment. I move approval of agenda document number 23-13-A, subject to a 30-day.
Whoa. That was not agreed to.
I would like to take this back.
Yes. Start over.
I would like to take a moment of personal privilege to apologize to the public and warn them of what happens when you have more than two children. I'd like to restart by moving.
Granted.
With the approval of agenda document number 23-13-A, subject to a 30-day delay in its implementation and to an understanding that this matter will be discussed in the next executive session.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion passes 5-1 with Commissioner Dickerson, Trainer, Vice Chair, Commissioner Broussard, and myself in favor. Commissioner Weintraub opposed.